Now, just to perhaps answer any lingering questions, what you see on my face is not a measles outbreak. Just laying that out there. I went and saw my favorite dermatologist, but that's not very exciting. So I'm just telling people that I went bird hunting with Dick Cheney. I'm just laying that. Some of you may know what that means. In our gospel story this morning, it is fulfilled as Jesus' third attempt to reach his disciples in his resurrected form, his resurrected appearance. He has not yet ascended to be with God the Father in heaven, but he is, in a way, changed in the sense that they cannot recognize him. As in last week, they saw the holes in his hand and the holes in his side. Then they recognized it was the Lord. This morning, Jesus appeared to them on the shore. And it's really interesting account because in the previous resurrected appearances between Jesus and his disciples, they're perplexed at an empty tomb, wondering where Jesus is. The second attempt, they're huddled in fear behind closed, locked doors in the upper room. But in our gospel reading this morning, this third resurrected appearance of Jesus, the disciples are out in the open doing everyday tasks that they would do. They were fishermen. That's what they knew. And they had fished all night and had caught nothing. And as dawn was beginning to break on the shore, they saw a lone figure, a shadow of a person approach. And the shadow of a person, of course, was Jesus. But they did not recognize him. And the shadow figure said to them, "Why not cast your net on the other side of the boat? How's the fishing going?" And so they obediently did. And when they did, in a miraculous way, they caught an abundant harvest of fish. And it was out of that obedience, carrying out that action of moving from one side of the boat to the other, casting their nets, where they realized the person on the shore was indeed Jesus. Now, let me just pose a question before we move on. How many of us in our everyday life, whether we're at work or at shopping or in social connections with other people or maybe sitting in long lines of traffic on 290, how often doing our everyday task are we aware and perceptive that the risen Jesus is approaching us, seeks us out, speaks instruction to us? Because we live in a day and time where Jesus has ascended to be with God the Father in heaven. And as Jesus promised, he sends his advocate, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who manifests God's word, God's presence to us in unfolding miraculous ways, who perhaps is always speaking instruction to us, but for whatever reason, may not be open to who he truly is. And you know what's interesting about this story even more? If you know geographically the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias, they're both the same body of water. Show that slide. You notice that the Sea of Galilee, if you've been there or seen pictures of it, it's down in a basin. and is surrounded by large mountains and rugged hill country. And the wind just blows through those mountain passes, and when it hits that basin of water, there's always a wind current on the Sea of Galilee. And for the fishermen to fish on the Sea of Galilee, they had these sort of cast nets. They would bundle up on one hand, and they would have like a rope attached to it. And they would stand on one side of the boat and cast their net out. And it would spread out. It was probably weighted down with rocks. And it would hit the water and start to sink. And as they would then pull their net against the current, the net would open up and pull towards them, thus capturing any fish that were between the boat and where the net was cast. And they would draw that net in. And when the figure, Jesus, announced to them to fish on the opposite side of the boat, they didn't stop and go, well, this is the only way we know how to fish, is casting our net with the current, against the current, excuse me, on this side of the boat. If we cast our net on this side of the boat, we'd be going with the current. If we threw our net out, the current would just push it towards us. It would not open up. It would not work. Now, there's only one way that we know how to do this. It's not very productive for us, but we're going to keep doing it this way because that's the only way we know how to do it. And to cast our net on the other side of the boat with the current would not work at all. As a matter of fact, I don't even like that. I don't even want to participate with that. What I know is this over here. It's not working for us, but I'm going to keep doing it. And all the while, the disciples perhaps knew that voice from the figure on the shore. They had been with him all of this time. They knew his voice. And when he, in a persuasive way, suggested that they fish on the opposite side, in their obedience, in their faith, they did. And when they did, that was when the miracle took place, through their faith. Now, last Sunday, we did a miraculous different thing for the life of our church. We had one service at 8 a.m., and there were some 10:30 people who sort of showed up at 10:30, and we had a service for them. Nobody leaves unattended, right? But we had one service at 8 a.m. There were about 100 people in here. And we celebrated a faith initiative to do something different, to fish on the opposite side of the boat. And we were about 100 people here last weekend, if you weren't here that early in the morning. And we sent out about 80 of you to go out in designated sites to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ serving the community. It was our initiative of St. Cuthbert Cares to serve the community in Christ. And there were those of you who went out, and I want to thank you for your faith and for your devotion, for stepping out in faith and doing something completely different, because that's where Jesus shows up the most. Stepping out and expecting the miraculous to occur. That's where Jesus meets us. Jesus always presents us with new faith possibilities, with how the Holy Spirit can manifest himself within our life. And what I want to do, I want you to pull out one of these red pew Bibles you may have in front of you. I think there's something extremely important to holding the Word of God in your hands. Open it to page 769. Page 769. John chapter 21, and I'm going to begin at verse 7. Page 769, John 21, verse 7. This verse is the pivotal verse of this entire gospel. It's the gospel reading that I just read. It's in a different translation, so it offers us a different perspective. In verse 7, "Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.'" Now, let me be clear about something before we move on. Jesus loved all of the disciples, including Judas. But if you're going to write a gospel that bears your name, you're going to designate yourself as the one whom Jesus loved, right? So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Now, this is the pivotal verse of this understanding, I think, this entire gospel message and the purpose of Jesus' resurrected appearance. Now, the gospel translation that I read in our lectionary was slightly different. It designated Peter as being naked without clothes, right? And in the gospel translation we just read there, it said he just wrapped an outer garment around him. Let me clarify something here. Peter did not have a habit for fishing in the buff, okay? For our modern interpretation towards all of this, it would have been completely against Jewish custom to do so. You know, those of us who went to Jerusalem back in 2015, we were not even allowed to wear shorts at that time. So it would have been completely against custom. Peter was probably wearing something that was appropriate for fishing on the water that day, like a loincloth or something. And that word nakedness is translated in Greek to mean gymnos. It's where we get the word gymnasium. And if we were to go down to the gym and help the Rockets out, we would wear something entirely different. Gym clothes to run around and sweat and do all that kind of activity. We would not wear our Sunday best, correct? So Peter was in his gymnos. And when he recognized, when it was said that the person on the shore was indeed Jesus, that he was standing in the presence of the Lord, he realized he was not appropriate. Because Jesus always confronts us for who and what we are. Jesus always confronts us for who and what we have been. And he accepts us for who we are and who we have been so that he can redeem us in the power of his resurrected love. And Jesus asked Peter three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Amending all of the three denials that Peter had given before Jesus' crucifixion. "Do you know this man?" "I do not know the man." "I do not know the man." The cock crows, right? But Jesus is also telling Peter to fish on the opposite side of the boat, to put his faith into action. "Feed my sheep." And Peter realized the power of his faith to the presence of Jesus Christ. And this is the shift that took place in Jesus' resurrection. Our belief to him comes through our faith in him. And our faith expressed to where Jesus comes to us is manifested in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus becomes present to us through our prayers, through our desires, through the miraculous that we need God to intervene sometimes in our life. When we cry out to him, Jesus is present. And when we're in his presence, we become transparent. We become who we are before him. This is often why we surrender our hearts to him, because he knows who we are, and he accepts us for who we are, and we give our life to him, and we are not the same person at all. We are a new creation in Christ. And Jesus told John at the conclusion of that gospel, he indicated the type of death he, John, was going to die in order to glorify God. And let me say, we are not going to get through this life unscathed. We are going to face challenges. Yet, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "Take heart, for I have conquered the world." And it's in these areas of our challenges where we express our faith, where we offer ourselves expecting God to show up, because he does. Where we have taken our last step and we need God's intervention, that's where Jesus is. I don't think God gets very excited when we go through the same old all of the time, even if it doesn't work, expecting different results. God wants us to have large faith, to live in the miraculous, so God can be highly exalted. The Apostle Paul, whose conversion that we read, just a snippet of our first reading from the book of Acts, he knew the power of God, God's grace, God's presence. And Paul instructs us in 2 Corinthians, "But we have this treasure in clay jars." Other translations say that we're earthen vessels. We have this treasure of Jesus' presence manifested through the Holy Spirit. We receive God's grace so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. God exists in the supernatural. We extend our faith to him in this extraordinary power. Paul goes on to say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We live with faith possibilities. It is never over with Jesus. There are always new faith possibilities. Where are you struggling? Where are you struggling in your faith right now? Are you doing the same old, expecting different results? What's the definition of insanity? Or are you spiritually casting your net on the opposite side of the boat, expecting Jesus to show up where you need his spiritual presence the most, where you extend your faith and allow God to grant you a miraculous catch of an abundant harvest for him? We do this individually with our lives. We do this corporately together as a church. Let's continue to move our faith, do something different, and cast our nets on the opposite side in the miraculous world of God's intervention in all that we do. Amen.